Yeah.
Am I good? Am I good this way? Or should I go?
That's for you, DC.
Check your account.
You know
Check
how
your
much this
account.
bottle costs?
Thank you, Craig. Should I go like this, or is I, or am I good this way, or should I turn it the other way?
It's always gonna be better if you turn it.
Pause. What are y'all talking about?
How is that a pause? Of a turning chicken cock. You gonna pause on this, but not that?
You said no matter how you turn it, it's gonna be good.
That's not what I said at all. I didn't even say that.
Well, what did you say?
I said it's always gonna be better when you turn it.
See?
But how is that? How is that talking about meat?
It's always gonna be better when you turn it.
I didn't say two.
That could be an omelet. It could be pancakes. So many things.
It could be a left turn.
Hey, DC, you on your third balcony or your first or second balcony?
The third balcony.
Dang. Okay. Are you staying at DC? We got the rented a house out there or what?
That nigga got three balconies.
I have nothing. Marlon has three balconies.
Hey. All
right, but nobody knows that.
I'm just saying.
Dang, DC. How much they pay you for that roll, bro?
I didn't do a roll, bro.
Man, we wish we could have paid him more because so much, he brought so much to the screen.
Oh, wow.
Nah, that's pause worthy. Now we're pause worthy.
Wait, what was pause worthy about that?
Yeah, he brought so much to the screen. Come on.
I mean, that wasn't pause worthy either.
That wasn't.
You guys got something about dick so much.
If I'm bringing so much to the screen, it's that meat, chicken cock.
Chicken cock. That should be the slogan of their commercial.
What is
I'm
that?
Bringing just a lot to you. Chicken cock.
Chicken cock.
Yo, DC, I talked to some old school Bay Area cats the other day, okay?
Uh-huh.
So my man said, oh man, these ladies don't know I'm a cocksmith. And I said, a what? And he said, a cocksmith. He's like, you heard a blacksmith?
Bay Area cats are so different, bro.
He said, I'm a professional dick slinger. I said, hey, dog, that's hilarious. I cocked
Bay Area is probably one of the few places where you can make up your own language, and it can just be yours.
Wait, did we start yet?
Mm-hmm.
Bay Area is actually the only place you could be a cocksmith and make a living.
I said, you are wild, bro. I said, a what?
Cocksmith.
Oh, you know
I've
who
never
he was?
I've never heard that one.
He was
DC, you've heard it.
Never.
You've been it.
He was
We're not recording, right?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, I'm a cocksmith.
I like how you clarified and still said it.
Yeah,
I'm recording? A cocksmith. Perfect. Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
All right, cool.
Craig is wild.
He was the
I never made a living doing it, but I think I can.
Yeah,
my dollars worth on this is yeah. I think I can make a living in a nice way.
What's crazy is Chaz was talking about my glasses, and these were probably $5. I got like two pair, $5, like off of what's that, Temu?
Uh huh.
Is that really exists? I thought that was
that's a thing. I got them for like my sister ordered them for me for the cruise.
They look dope.
They're
super cheap, bro.
It's just so out of the DC realm, you know what I'm saying? So I go,
I wear shades every now and then.
Not like
wait,
these.
Real quick, don't put Brody in a category. What you mean in the DC realm?
Chaz acting like he just found out I'm fly. He knows.
No. Have you seen him in these glasses before?
You know what it is? It's not even glasses. It's that he keeps doing this. You keep moving.
Nah, I mean, what you talking about? You doing a lot, bro.
like he got a mirror on.
Like, yeah, it's like DC. It's like today he just found out he made it. He's like, hey, you know what? It's the day.
Let me explain. I'm wearing them because I'm super tired. We did an overnight shoot.
I got you.
Yeah, and I was.
Well, first of all, I slept great.
Yeah, Craig was chilling somewhere, asleep.
Yeah, I slept great. Now, they did an overnight shoot that
producer
was crazy.
Hilarious.
It was 5 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Yeah,
you
brutal.
Know what I was doing during that time? I was sleeping.
Cocksmithing around.
And Craig had the nerve to call me at 8 a.m. Hey, what? We shooting today?
I wish they were sponsoring us.
Sponsored by a chicken. What is it? Is it just like a liquor or what?
It's a whiskey.
Where'd you get that from?
I went out and got it yesterday for you.
I mean, but where?
liquor store.
Oh, they sell that at a regular liquor store?
Did you go out looking for it, or you were like, I need something that screams DC? Oh, chicken cock.
Well, I was like, yo, DC worked his ass off and delivered.
Come on,
and I
now.
Wanted to get him a gift to wrap. I also got other people gifts, but I wanted to make sure. I was like, yo, DC, thank you. Appreciate
Come
you.
Come on, man.
Here.
Love it.
Man, thank you, broski.
Now, you better get it before I drink it, but.
That's the problem. It ain't mine yet.
You know, until you get here, hey.
Craig, love that chicken cup.
I might have a shot for you.
Enjoy yourself.
So the rap date is when?
We rap.
Oh, that was last night. That was the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Congrats.
Yeah, right. It's a rap, baby. Craig, you weren't there to rap.
I thought we had 3 more days. We wrapped early.
That's good. Production going
Yeah, true. Yeah, true that. We did rap. It was an unexpected rap.
Yeah. Production going to love that.
No. So, DC, what was this experience like for you?
Yeah.
This was something completely different.
Yeah, it was. It was probably something that I don't know if I was like, it was just dope fun.
Have you ever sat on a movie from day one to day zero?
But thing is, he didn't even do that though. He started from conception. He was in the writing process and all that. So you did
that was the whole thing. The biggest, from you started shebang from, to shebang
from
to see it from
when is an embryo
nothing yeah from the embryo to. To like a 19-year-old baby, it felt like it felt like a process because I was like, how are we gonna piece this together? How are we gonna bring it to life?
Right.
And then to see how we did it was the craziest part. To see the jokes come to life, camera.
To see it from the head to actually seeing it done. How was that? Like, I know you do your jokes and you start off with, I'm thinking of this, and then you do it on stage. This is something different.
Yeah, it was just different because if we had to, you know, on stage, we get that instant gratification. On paper, you got to kind of wait to see how people react. And it's a very small percentage of people that's reacting, to be honest, because the masses, you know, of course, they're not seeing it yet. But to see funny ass people react to stuff. Like, these ain't average people that were laughing at the scenes that we created. Mm-hmm. To see funny ass people who I respect and look up to, like, laugh at it, it was like, oh, we came up with some heavy stuff.
Yeah, my favorite moment, DC was cooking, and Marlon tried to step over him. He's like, nigga, let me cook. I was like, yeah, DC. He's like, no, nigga, let me cook.
let me defend that before you put something out there. That,
well, no, it was.
No, that's not good. What happened. No, what happened is he laughed.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, I broke Marlon a little bit.
Yeah,
hard
did.
To break. And I was like, hey, bro, don't laugh. I need to let me keep going.
But he was aggressive with it. He's like, nigga, let me cook.
Let me cook, Brody. Let me cook, Brody. Let me cook.
Yeah. Tony Beck is in the chat. Tony says, nah, man, why y'all ain't cast me in this shit?
Actually, Damon.
That's a Craig question.
Actually, Damon Jr. Did the role that Tony came.
But it came down to them too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a tough one to win.
Hey, I love both of y'all. I love him more. I love both of y'all.
Tony said, oh, so y'all chose family?
Who does that?
Family.
Hey, we had him right there. You know, he's family too. So yeah. it get sometimes it'd be like, yeah, we got 50,000 family members.
Yeah,
we still love you, Tony. We wanted you in there. We wanted Keon in there.
I appreciate y'all even giving me a chance. I knew I wasn't gonna get it, but I appreciate the thought.
All Keon had to do was be in Atlanta.
Yeah, pretty much.
Your role was booked, Keon.
I didn't know that.
He said no one told me.
Nobody told me that shit. No, I wouldn't have kept that show.
We just the way it goes down is Marlon was like, "Yo, who's in town? Let's go."
Tony said, nah, man, I'm taking the Waynes out one at a time.
Damn, Tony.
Damn.
I said we love you.
Got to start with Craig, right?
No. Start with Shantae.
Come on, man. I need her.
Hilarious. Chaz like, hey, man.
Let's get Chaz off the road first.
Wait a minute. We got dates.
And the dopest part probably was just watching, sitting back and watching. Watching these from Craig to Sean and little Damon, Marlon, and Kanan, and even Rick, watching them in the room, how they create and how they pull pieces together. That was like probably the dopest part for me.
What was more interesting, the onset or the room?
The room.
Mm-hmm.
The room was more interesting to me because we literally had nothing.
Yeah.
We literally had nothing. And it was a lot of just teamwork of ideas, people throwing ideas out.
Collaborative.
And then being like, that was funny, or that, mm-hmm. Or if it wasn't funny, how can it be funny?
Right.
And allowing people to voice their opinions like, oh, this is why it's funny.
Right.
I've never heard that, but it to be like, yo, it was nothing.
Nothing.
And then we had to start from nothing. Mm-hmm. I had never thought of it that way.
That's pretty deep,
DC.
From a dark room. We were in a dark room, just like, let's go.
Why was the room dark? What was
when we watch movies, you turn the lights off, you imbecile.
Well, they're not used to it. Marlon has a movie theater. And we watch the movies in his movie theater.
I've been to home movie theaters. Not mine, actually. But yeah, mine, but I've been to a couple.
I've seen them.
I've had not food in there. About a TV in a dark room.
No, a home movie theater.
Actual theater.
Home theater.
Bent has one. He's got a theater in his crib.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been in there many times.
I've eaten chicken in there.
Tony says, you start with the youngest Wayne's, first and foremost. Would that be Marlon's kid?
No, that would be Marlon's daughter.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, the baby? The baby? Well, the baby lives by me.
Don't give Tony that info, because he just said
<Maybe done>.
Wayne's.
So Tony said, did the movie have a lot of location shots?
That's a correct question. Yeah.
A lot of locations, no. We did a lot on the stage.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so Tony, you got a quick answer.
You know, it's dope for me watching. Craig's usually chill.
Mm-hmm.
Craig's excitement about writing, creating,
mm-hmm.
like comes across. Like anytime we get to talk, he gets happy. He gets gets very excited. So, very like you could tell he's like he loves writing.
Let me say that because this was my first time. Watching Craig be in his element. Normally he's always with
right.
us and we're talking about
stand up
and this
or,
and that.
You know.
But watching Craig be in his element, like as far as because he was getting assignments day of.
Yeah.
Like not even day of, minute of. Hey, we need this right now. How to make this funny. And I was watching Craig come with stuff like, oh, this, that, this, and to watch it work instantly was like, I was like, oh, bro, Craig is real deal. It makes everything make sense from dance flick to the little hand man. It makes everything make sense. Well, Craig was like a vital piece to like a lot of the creations of this stuff.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, Craig. My bad. I forgot to tell you that.
Where's my bottle?
Hey, man.
Where's this chicken?
You used to winning like this. Let me win a little, man.
Let me cook.
That's where it becomes so, like, I respect everything y'all do because I know and I've been watching forever. And my whole family does it. But when I try to, Chaz knows, when it switches, like, we don't get a chance. I don't get a chance to practice it. It's either go now
right.
and it has to be there. And this is going to be on a big screen. And it's just like, go now.
And you got to deliver. It's got to be dope. That's what they pay you for. That's what you get paid for. You get paid to be clutch right now.
But to be honest, to me, stand-up, it represents a whole lot more. And maybe that's just from the house I was built from. But to hear, go now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going on air. And it's going to be shown to everybody now. What right. we got for it in 20 minutes.
Right. Yeah, man. And those on the fly things, bro. That's just a big part of production. Things go wrong. People get ideas. Something, you know, you just gotta be quick. You got to have a quick answer. Then it's a skill set. You see a lot of people break down, you know.
But even with that, I still be like, stand up is harder.
Yeah.
I got costumes and shit to hide behind.
And there's an entire production team. There's an entire team on set.
Well, they don't make the joke, but at the same time, I'm not just standing up with a black curtain behind me having hey to guys. Make everybody laugh in front of my face. I get to hide behind everything else. Y'all have to look your audience in the eye and be like, is this funny?
Nah. Yeah, it's just funny right now.
Craig, and you can go in a car and be like, that didn't work.
Wait, why am I speeding off?
Because it didn't work. You just got to get out of there.
Will, it was funny. Will Ferrell said the same thing when he saw, when he came to the show DC You Had Me Do way back.
Oh, I remember that. That was crazy.
He said, he was like, I admire what y'all do because, you know, even in SNL and sketch, he was like, I could hide. If I wasn't doing something right, I could let somebody else carry it. I could, you know, do, he's like, y'all, it's just y'all. You just go up there and you just do it and you got to make it work right now in real time while being judged immediately. He's like, it's the only art form where it's like, you got to deliver like right now. And that's just it.
Even with music, you could let the drummer go off right for like 15 minutes.
You could put your mic out in the crowd and let them go.
Let them mm-hmm. sing.
We can't have them finish our jokes.
And that's why she said.
They'd be like, what?
Yeah, we don't know the joke. We don't know what you're doing.
What up? This episode is brought to you by Cash App. All right. Now, I use Cash App all the time. Y'all know, obviously, we do stand up. We do shows. I use Cash App to pay the comics after the shows, and I pay them immediately. Make sure they get their bread. All right. Easy to use. Real quick. Boom, boom. They get their money. Everybody's happy. You keep track. It's all good. And Cash App just released a new status program for the way that people actually spend called Cash App Green. It unlocks new ways for you to get paid, to get rewarded, to easily grow and manage your money on your terms. Now, when you spend $500 a month with the Cash App card or Cash App Pay, you earn green status, which unlocks benefits like up to $200 of free overdraft coverage, which, you know, you can use sometimes, high borrow limits, and customized personal cash back offers every Friday at places you love to shop. Turn everyday spending into status with Cash App Green. Download Cash App today or visit cash.app/new to learn about this and other great features launching now. And for a limited time, new Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CashApp10. All right, that's CashApp10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Green, overdraft coverage, borrow, cashback offers, and promotion provided by Cash App, a Block, Inc. brand. All right? Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. I feel like only other artists super appreciate stand-up. The world thinks they could just do it.
Oh, hey.
I'm funny. I make my uncle laugh on the grill.
Well, that's the trick, bro. The trick is to make it look easy. You're supposed to make it look like everybody can go out there and do it.
Yeah, it's crazy. The crazy part is when you say or when you have a verbal combo with someone and you tell them, look at them in their eyes and you be like, stand-up is the hardest art form out there. They never fight it for the most part. They'd be like, hey, you got to, yeah. Because, you know, public speaking is the number one fear. Public speaking plus making strangers laugh at an experience that you went through. Difficult as that.
I think the people who, if we're talking about civilians, as we call them,
yeah,
the ones who respect it really is be like, I've thought about it, man, but I'd be scared, bro. Like that's the fear in general. Be like, I respect what y'all do because I know I'm funny, bro, but like, I don't know, man. I want to get up, but I don't know. I get a lot of messages like that. I want to get up, but like, I think I'll be good at it, but I don't know.
I've written movies and I've never written a set. That's how hard it is.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot more work, Craig. You wrote 100 pages in 5 minutes.
To write a set is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, you have to be 1,000% honest with yourself,
mm-hmm.
and start from there. On a movie, I could make up characters. I could write shit that I've seen. I could write all that. But to write a set, I've tried. It's not really that. It's not easy at all. I tried for 10 years.
What's crazy is like, it is quote unquote easy. It's just going to do it.
Just making that's money off of it.
Not even, yeah, that, well, that, of course.
That's the part where
and
people go.
And fine-tuning it.
Yeah, like work. You can write a joke, but then you got to go do that. And then that's the part. It's like, what is this going to work? Are people going to understand what I'm saying? Is this going to voice inflections? And what should I say this word first? And but it's not that the joke is, you know, you could do that. Anybody can write a joke. But it's like, is that shit going to be funny? And is it going to work? Like, that's the part. It's like, this is funny to me. I think it's funny. I don't know.
And then normally the first time you say it, you stumble across what the funny is. Yeah. It's like an accident. So it's like learning how to drive something you never drove, and it comes out good. You'd be like, oh, well, I'm gonna say it like that again.
Yeah.
Oh, and hopefully it hits again the same way they reacted to it the first time.
And then when they don't, you'd be like, damn, okay, all right. Yeah. All right, what, all right, shit, this yeah, worked.
To me,
yesterday.
Writing a joke for somebody else is the easiest thing, but writing a joke for yourself is the hardest thing to me.
Yeah. It's that that delivery, man. Delivery, and then you'd be adding stuff. Stuff happens later. You add stuff to it, take out stuff. I'd probably say at this point, the hardest thing for me is like developing an hour that like, all right, this is the hour. I'll be taking stuff out, putting stuff in, adding it, cutting it down, like trying to just find that hour is like the hardest part for me. It's always
changing.
I've been
writing jokes for other people for 40 years and I can't write a joke for myself.
You put all your jokes in my wife and kids. All of it's in there.
Well, I started before that, Chaz.
Talking about that hour.
I've been writing since you were a baby.
No, I'm talking about that golden hour that you had. I go like, if you did that shit on My Wife and Kids, your own personal stand-up, they would have gave you the show, My Wife and Kids. That'd have been your, after you did that hour, they'd be like, hey, this is your show. And you would have came out with My Wife and Kids.
I started at Wayans Brothers.
Yeah.
At 18 years old, I started writing jokes.
I was alive, I think, when you were 18, though. I was a whole middle schooler when Wayne's Brothers was around.
And I still can't write a joke for myself. I've been on the road with these niggas and been like, damn, I could think of more jokes for y'all than I could think of one for myself.
Yeah.
That's why I'd be like,
Do you have stage anxiety? Have you been up there? Because I remember you told me one time you just stood behind the curtain. You was like, absolutely not.
You said you did 5 minutes before somewhere.
He did one. He's gotten up once. It was solid.
No, DC walked me in and was like, hey, this is all I want you to do, Brody. I need you to go out there. And I didn't. I got a response that was crazy. And I was like, oh, shit. It made me go blank. I told you I went blank.
After the laugh,
and it was just like and I was like, "Damn, this is what it feels like to go out first,
bite the bullet."
I don't know.
That's the tough one.
The stage is DC. Bye.
I don't know. That sounds like the worst intro of all time.
No, I think he said more than that.
I don't know, DC.
No, he walked me out. He gave. He's like, "Hey, so this is what I need you to do, Brody. Go out there." Move the mic stand to the middle of the stage and walk out in front of it.
Oh, you didn't have to say nothing?
That was so hard to do. Because they went crazy as soon as I walked out. And then I had nothing. I was like, all right, DC.
Why did he have to do that? Why did you have to move the mic?
I was trying to, well, no, you know how we move the mic out of our our vision.
Yeah.
So we're not blocking ourselves. I told him that.
What was he doing? Like a cold open? What was he doing?
He was supposed to do a few minutes and then bring me up.
Uh-huh.
So those, I did have him do that to prep for his few minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like first thing you do is put the mic stand to the side or behind you.
Right.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Hey, they start screaming so hard and so loud, I forgot anything I even wanted to think about. And be like, here's a joke. I didn't even have one. I was just like, oh, shit. Here comes DC Irvin.
So you didn't say no joke? Well,
that was the first time. Even the second time, no.
So wait, you know? Tell me, so you walked out, moved the mic, and then brought up DC?
Yep.
DC had to go chase the stand. So where's the mic stand?
So did. I ain't got no
all right, peep game.
I ain't got no fronting for you. Got no fronting for you.
Craig's defense is kind of like this.
It's also a theater.
Okay. The crowds that we're in, these aren't the crowds that, all right, let's just try something out. Let's work on something. We're doing, for example, we were on a layoff, a huge layoff doing this movie, and our first show back was 2,000 people in Staten Island.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is not how I want to come back. You know what I mean? Like, give me a warm up show.
Right.
You know, you figure it out. But so imagine never doing it for the first 10 minutes of my set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so weird, too, because I've known people that's done stand up for ages, and they never went out in front of 1,000, 2,000 people.
Yeah.
It's a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I thought all the women wanted me because they were screaming. I was like, ooh, I ain't got nothing to say. Here comes DC. And it wasn't like, so I didn't even do open mics. It was just like, all right, what you got? Let's go. You want to get up? I was like, all right.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot. It's a lot for anybody.
That's a lot.
And I just do my best when there's, you know, if we throw someone up that, you know, hasn't been up a lot or whatever, I do my best to let them know, hey, it don't matter what you do, I got you. Yeah. I say, as soon as you feel anything weird, say, ladies and gentlemen, DC Irvin, and I can bring us back. So it's a win. It's going to be a win for you no matter what.
Right.
That's what's dope about DC, too. He'll really let you know, hey, I'll bring him back. Don't even worry about it.
Right.
I'll bring him back. And he will bring him back. Damn, you that cold, nigga? That's how you feel?
Shit.
Now I'm thinking, I'm like, yo, you really told a lot of people, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll bring him back.
I told a lot of people that, bro. I got it. Just chill. Just you do whatever you need to do, and I got us.
DC is that cold, bro. I've seen DC go on the more awkward. This is, with DC is superpower, bro. Like, the more awkward it gets, the more weird it is, I feel like the more he thrives. He's like the Hulk, but the stranger set gets stronger, DC get. But it prepares him, bro, whether it's already a good vibe or something goes over. Somebody could die midway through, they're taking him by the ambulance, and DC be like, I got it, guys, I'll bring him back. It's like,
hey, DC eats after beasts. We've had a lot of beasts show up and be like, yo, can we get on real quick? And then DC be like, all right, I'll bring you up, bro. Yeah. And then I got it afterwards.
Yeah.
And
do what you do. Do what you do.
And he got it afterwards.
The only difference that separates DC from everybody else is just notoriety. It's just that's it.
Talent. Wait, no. Niggas know my nigga DC.
No.
Don't say notoriety.
No. What I mean is because I think DC knows what I mean. I don't mean that. It's just that there's no one else I think who's. I've been saying this for the longest. He's been one of my favorite comedians since I first met him. But it's just that if he had the on that lineup with Cat, Dave, all those other people, I have zero doubt that DC is right on par. If not,
wow, bro, thank you, Chad.
I 1,000% believe that. It's just that.
Pass me that chicken cock, man. Thank you, Chad.
There's no doubt in my mind that people want to be like, oh, Cat was great, Chappelle was great, yo. This cat did a whole joke about being dead on a roller coaster and going up and down.
No, thank you, Broski.
Real shit. No, DC. You deserve that, bro.
I mean, it's facts. Thank y'all, man. It's super facts. And it's been that for a while.
When your peers say, I know they say you ain't supposed to worry about our peers, but it do mean a lot because our peers are the ones who see us day in and day out for the most part. Crowds just catch the beauty of us, but our peers are the ones that be like, oh, I've They see you grow. They've seen us grow. And I can say the same about y'all. Yeah.
You know what's so dope about this is I actually got to see, I see you on your stage, but you got to see me on my stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was like, yo, DC came in and was on the same way.
Right.
That remains to be seen, broski.
Hey, I was there, so I know you came in. You was ready to go.
You got to get your own footage. You got to. But hey, can I get the?
Well, he didn't say. And then here comes Craig Wayans. I went out on his stage and was like, "Oh shit, damn!" And here comes DC Irving.
Well, I couldn't say that because you were in the scene with me, bro. So it doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Craig, hop in. Come on now.
Oh, Craig being modest and humble. He was playing. He was a man of many hats too.
Yeah, I love it, man.
What up, y'all? This episode is brought to you by Factor. Now, y'all know me. I don't really like eating out like that, and I'm big on the healthy food and stuff like that. But Factor is dope for me because you don't have to actually cook the meal. The meal is already prepared for you. And you just put it up in a microwave or the skillet. I like to use a skillet. It tastes better. And that meal comes right out. And they got all kind of variety and choices. Now, I went on there recently. Man, they got, you can do protein. You can do calorie counter. You can do family friendly. You can do, I mean, they got everything. They got breakfast. They got lunch. They got smoothies. They got, I mean, it's legit. And it's really good for, like, if you have health and fitness goals, it's clutch for that. Or just in general, if you ain't got time. It's not just like, one thing, it's like your meat, your vegetables, it's a whole meal that you do, and it tastes good. And right now, you can eat smart at factormeals.com/issues50off and use the codes issues50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for a year. So that's code is issues50off at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for a year. Get delicious, ready to eat meals delivered with Factor, and the offer is only valid to new Factor customers with the code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchases, all right? So don't think, I'm just going to sign up real time real quick, and then you got to stay with it, keep at it. So make sure y'all check that out. Get that. It's a good time. Trust me. That's dope.
It's actually dope to do it with, like, so on the road, DC's very much, he's the bigger brother on the road because he knows it and he's done it. And we communicate, but this one, I was like, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. And he was right there and he delivered.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, DC, did it ever feel overwhelming at any point?
Yeah, probably when I first got to set. Because I'm watching all these OGs, man. I mean, the cast has been announced. But yeah, watching OG cast members deliver, I was like, I know I'm not that. I was like, I know I'm not that. I mean, I can do it. I can hold my own. But I know I'm not that. From Regina Hall to Marlon.
Yeah. And I got to say this. Sean Cook.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but come on, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean was just got back, and didn't he have a little hiatus too? If I'm not mistaken,
he's been on the road.
I'm talking about from filming.
Yeah, he's just been dead for a while.
And he was, bro, man. When I say, I don't want to say it. He was amazing though.
Yeah,
like amazing to watch. Like
this nigga showed up like Benihana's didn't leave the day before, and he cooked.
And he's such a quiet storm.
Yeah.
I don't be saying nothing. He'd be, you know, chilling, zoning out in his zone. And then when that camera hit on him, oh, goodness gracious. I can't wait for y'all to see what he did.
I don't have to buy it. When we air, though? When's it drop?
June. Summer of 2026.
Let's do it. Nice.
Let's do it. They already talk about a 7. They already like, hey, man, you know, we're already thinking, guys.
I've been on my, I'm pushing Sean. Sean and Regina need to do 8 movies together. Their chemistry is so fucking dope.
Yeah.
When Sean came on stage and they did their scene, niggas were repeating their lines all day.
That's dope, bro.
I'll be happy when my nigga cooked. I'm sorry.
That's dope. That's hella dope.
Because you know what's so weird is, you remember y'all told me do the list of where the weigh-ins stand and all that? Yeah. They really don't know how much this man be cooking.
Who, Sean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it nonstop.
Now, first time I saw him do stand-up, I was actually like shocked because I don't think I've ever known him to be a comedian. And this is shit 15 years ago. But he came in a ha-ha, man, and just, it was him and Will Savince. And Will ripped, and then Sean followed. And I've never seen him do stand-up, so I was like, oh, how's this going? Sean murdered. And I was like, bro, I had no idea he did that. I had no idea he was doing stand-up like that, but he killed. And I was like, oh, he's a great comedian.
Sean started doing stand-up at 15 years old.
I had no idea.
So his pin game is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He started at
15. He would leave the house and go do stand-up all through the city at 15.
Dang.
Yeah.
He got that Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle age start.
Well, he started when Adam Sandler started. Him and Adam used to go out and kill stages when they were young.
Oh, wow.
Nowadays, you don't see a lot of kids starting at 15 going to do stand-up.
They're all playing Fortnite.
Just nowadays, I the only one that was young is Matt.
Matt Rife was the last of the bro weekends on that.
Matt killed it.
Yeah, Matt was, well, you like know, you got, Matt was like 15.
You know, you got Isaiah Kelly kid. I mean,
Isaiah
and his brothers.
Yeah.
And I know Isaiah was young. He was young. Isaiah was about 14. Yeah,
he was young. Him and his brothers.
They don't look happy, though. Isaiah's a great comedian.
You know, so funny. I was talking to
Gerald Kelly's kid.
And we were having a full conversation. And I was like, yeah, man, damn, you've been doing it a while. He was like, you thinking about my dad? And I was like, oh shit, y'all niggas do look alike. His eyes are green.
Yeah.
You imagine being the kid who didn't get the eyes? You're like, man, fuck, man. The eyes.
I throw my parents away if they had green eyes and I didn't have them.
That nigga just got the weight and the hairline. He did not get.
Come on, man. I'd be hot about it, bro.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who started like super young.
So Eddie's doctor.
Chaz was like way young. Chaz, what you 18?
I was 18. Yeah. I wish I had that success going on.
How old was you, DC?
I was 23 when I kicked off.
That's young. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty relatively young, but compared to the outliers,
right.
You know, I was an old nigga starting.
Yeah,
it's hard.
I wish I started younger, man. When I was like at least 19, but 23 is pretty young to start.
I wish the opposite. I wish I started when I was like late 20s or 30s, because it's,
why is that?
Because when you're young, bro, unless you have that crazy talent. I never had the crazy talent. Like, I never had the Eddie Murphy talent, the Chappelle. I never had that. I was just like, work hard, you know? But like, you don't have anything really to talk about. I'm doing jokes about jerking off and doing jokes about, you know, you're just trying to be funny. And I was doing like song parodies at the time and bad impressions, you know? I was just trying to be.
Oh, so you was Nick Cannon in it. I remember when Nick Cannon. Way better. Nick was 14. Hilarious. And I got linked. I was 18. He was 14.
Yeah.
And I used to go watch him do stand up. And I was like, yo, this
Nick young got cat, young. That's true.
Mm-hmm. This young cat is killing it. He was only like 14 years old. Yeah. I was 18 saying this young cat is killing it out here. Yeah. He was doing Mr. Magoo. And I was like, how the fuck does he even know who Mr. Magoo is?
Yeah. I think, man, especially being on that West Coast probably would have helped. I think about that too. Being in, what you see, dog? What
no, my neck.
You see a ghost?
Got tight.
I don't like how you did that, Keon. That was
what terrible. Is now? It looked like Chaz farted.
No, because I looked at Chaz and my neck was tight. I was like, oh, let me loosen my neck.
Nah, I looked like he was. I was like, is there a ghost behind me, bro? Because we got to get out of here.
I just wanted to look and, you know, engage in the con. And then I was like, oh, let me stretch this neck out.
When I say chicken cock,
stretch that neck out with.
Craig got a deal on his own.
He definitely got a
deal.
That's
what happened. He went. It's my last day.
I'm doing the movie.
Hope I can get a deal like Flash.
When I've seen from other comedians who are older, I feel like they're funnier faster because of life. They have a lot of stuff to talk about. I feel like I'm better now than I ever was because of the family. Because it's those things that I get to talk about. You know, I started just trying to find what's interesting, what's funny, or something bad happening to me. My best jokes came from getting in a car accident, getting arrested. It was like everything that was bad, I had to have something to talk about instead of like a POV on, you know, how I view this thing, how I view that thing. That took a while to figure out.
I'm willing to say there's a lot more comedians that started young, but they didn't continue doing it. I think it's easy to get distracted if you start at a really young age. There's so many other things because none of your friends are really doing it with you. Most of your friends are into video games or, you know, sports and all that stuff or whatever. We're trying to figure out if they're going to college or you know what I mean, or whatever, military or whatever. But I think it's if you can make it through and you start at 18, 28, you're a 10-year vet. I think that's, you know, it's crazy.
How many people have y'all seen fail at comedy almost everybody. Never came back?
Oh, hella people.
Yeah, it's a
hella. You don't really remember them because you don't see them anymore. But gone. Once you think, you'd be like, remember such and such we should see all the time. Yeah. It's a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it happens often.
Yeah.
It's hard out here, man.
The usual lifespan of a comic is 5 years, maybe.
It's hard out here. It's hard when you're young, too, because you start seeing your family. You start seeing your friends. Everybody start getting stuff. But, you know, I was so young, bro, out here that I was 20 out here. Everybody I knew became my fam, you know? It was like your friends. It was like, these are my friends who all do comedy together. So, you know, it was an easier transition, I think, than in being 30 or something like that. That aspect is different.
I was 20.
That is wild because now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, comics don't usually just have a regular world. Usually all their friends and family are comedians.
Yeah.
It's very rare where you're like, no, this is my boy. We used to hoop back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, who you like start with, they become your tribe. They become because, you know, you're in the trenches and you're going through a lot of, you know, sometimes painful things, situations together. Like, you know, from people don't tell you how hard it is when you first start as far as like open mic in it, getting bumped, having to wait around and only people to watch you. Or the niggas you came with.
Right.
How about this?
Big facts. Big facts.
And starving.
Right. Yeah. So hungry.
Right.
It get real out there. I didn't starve. But.
I used to keep a box of granola bars. You know, I'd go to Costco and get the big Nature Valley, and I just stayed in my car.
That is true. I do remember you always
with. And that's all I eat.
Yeah, sure did. Used to be Nature Valley.
That's all I eat. I just have granola bars all the time.
I agree with
you. We called him Keon Ric Flair, Nature Boy.
Nature Boy. I used to have him.
I'm lucky to know Keon when I think
I started after I met y'all.
That time. Yeah. And man, actually, his drive is just crazy. So I can't say he ever went through a lot of the stuff I've seen other people go through because his drive has always been crazy.
Keon is very, very.
He had a
great at being self motivated.
He had a daddy in his life. That nigga Keon.
But Keon is one of those people that kind of would, no matter what he does, he's going to be very good at it. You see his old basketball clips. I was like, oh, Keon was out there cooking.
What up, y'all? This episode is brought to you by GLD. Now, listen, I'm not a jewelry dude. I usually don't wear jewelry like that, but you know, I decided to get a little something from them, man. And mine is light. You can get them in different lengths. You can get super long, 18, 22 inch, 24 inch, 26 inch. Get them super long. You can get them thicker. I don't like a lot of tension like that. So I got this, but they really light. I get compliments on it all the time. And GLD has an official collab with the NFL. So you can get your favorite team's pendant because they have chains. They got pendants. They got bracelets. They also have collabs with the WNBA, MLB, the NCAA, MLS, and even DC Comics. So you can get your chains and your pendants and let you rep what you love. Everything has real gold in it. You can wear it in the water. You can, you know, take a shower, go to the gym. You want to shine. You know, it's a good time. Like, I forgot I had it on, to be honest with you. And I'm a short jewelry kind of guy, so that's why I got this one. I picked this one. And, when I be in my little pictures, it be shining a little bit. It be shining a little bit. Work hard and change the game. Right now, GLD is making a holiday shopping easy for a limited time only. Limited time only, new customers can get an insane deal. Let's use the code ISSUES and you get 50% off plus a free chain. I don't know if you can beat that. And you just go to GLD.com. All right, that's 50% off and a free chain when you use the code ISSUES at GLD.com. After purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about it. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
Okay. Who would have won one-on-one, though, DC?
Q
Keon versus DC.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest.
Who would have won?
They worked with two big.
Keon was nicer than me in games. Like when it counted, I could just watching his tape. I was like, oh, Keon was out there. He was out there cooking.
He said in games.
In games.
You gotta be real. If you're a real hooper, you know.
But I know what you're talking about, because I had a teammate, bro, in practice. He was the best player on the team. In practice. And then we would get to the games, we'd be like, what happened, bro?
I would have killed Keon in practice.
Yo, I would have been hating on the bench, like, yo, that should be my spot. With Keon on the court. Nigga, I kill that nigga in practice all day.
You know what's crazy?
That's great.
I don't be knowing, like, you have to go back to realize, like, damn, I was good at this.
You were, bro. When, like, I was watching all those clips, I was like, oh, Keon was out there.
Like, when you're in it, you're just doing it. And you, mm-hmm. you're just like, oh, okay. This
you were
is...
like the focal point. At one point, I was watching one of the clips, and they were in a box and one on you.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
He had three people chasing him around doing switches.
Wait, this nigga really watched the game from 20 years ago and was analyzing. He was like, nigga, they had a box.
Oh, yeah, I'm a hooper. Yeah, I saw. That's how you know I'm a real hooper. I was like, yeah. Keon, they had a box and one on Keon.
Because I remember that when I was watching it back, it was because I didn't do nothing the whole game. I was just chilling. And then we were down in the fourth quarter. So I was like, all right, I got to go get all these points.
Let me turn up.
Keon's so much of a hooper, he knows exactly what game you're talking about. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. So that was Wednesday.
2001.
This nigga knew the game you was talking about.
I remember because it was very hard for me actually in high school, because I had a different coach every year. And then... it was like in high school, you're like, the goal is to go to college. But like, how are you a team player and selfish enough to where you get seen to go to college? Yeah. So it's like, I'm trying to pass the ball, but then at the same time, we're losing.
Wait, right. how did you stay at the school and y'all had different coaches? Was it because of you?
Nah, it's high school and we was a new school. My school was the first year we had all four grades was my freshman year. It was literally a brand new school. They were still like building it while we were there. So, back then there was no athletic program that was established. So the science teacher is the coach when you're in the PE teacher, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't no. And so, it was all these, white dudes that was like, this is how you play the game, trying to coach a bunch of black kids that could just hoop. And it was like trying to fit the system, but also being like, you know what the system is? Give me the fucking ball and move out the way.
I am the system.
And it was.
I'm laughing because there was no system.
There was no system.
I am the table.
So
you can't have a system in your first year.
Yeah. And so, but they would try to do that. And then the only time we'd start winning is when he would swallow his pride and be like, all right, just do whatever it is that you do. And so trying to do that was like, when you're 16 years old, that's the thing. I was a senior. I'm only 16. So you're a kid and you're trying to like, and your body hasn't caught up yet. So I'm getting by on just being really good, but my body ain't caught up. I'm not mature. I got way better in college when
That's
I matured
crazy.
And filled
at
out and
16,
everything. Yeah, I was
the
16.
Only, the only player I knew that knew at 16 that was crazy was Tracy Murray. And he
Tracy, my dog Tracy.
Fairfax.
Yeah.
That's Chris Murray's little brother.
Yeah.
He's actually a big designer now. But that was
Tracy. I remember that name. He went pro, right?
Which Tracy Murray are you talking about? Because me and DC are thinking Tracy Murray that played for UCLA, went to the Wizards, Raptors, all that stuff.
He played at Fairfax. Then he did Tom Hardy. Was it Tom Hardy? What's the name of the clothing line?
He never went. This Tracy never went pro.
No, his brother went pro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but there was another Tracy
Murray.
Tracy Murray
is the UCLA legend.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
LA legend Tracy Murray. He killed everybody at 16 as a senior. His brother went pro. He had the UConn. What's the Super Sport one? He did it up.
Oh, okay.
And he also has Essentials. He has he made well in life.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember all these fools rocking Tom Hardy. Remember that? That was a big thing for a while.
What happened to it?
The UFC.
It's still on Melrose.
Okay, it's not what happened to it. Who got a hold of it that made it not cool to wear anymore? Because that's what be happening to a lot of clothes.
Well, first of all, it became too many people were wearing it. It came back now, though. It's still okay.
It just became that meathead kind
of
shirt.
The UFC thing took it over, and black people was kind of like, all right, we out,
that
bro.
Meathead, douchebag kind of bro wear.
Too many thick dudes started wearing it.
Cauliflower ear dudes was wearing it. He was like, all right, I'm out.
No necks, you know, just stretching out the holes and shit.
He's about to say something about you, Chaz.
Well, I got wrestler neck. I tell people all the time, that's always going to happen. That's just, when you wrestle like that, you play football, you had no neck.
Did you ever have a cauliflower ear?
I still have it.
You do?
For real?
Yeah. I'll show you the difference. My wrestling coach was a fireman. He used to drain the blood out my ear. It was really bad. But if you can feel it, no homo here.
Oh, yeah, I do see it.
But look, you can feel this one.
Rub it, Keon.
I don't need to. I can see it.
No, no, this one doesn't have it. That's what I'm showing you.
I never noticed.
Oh, no, this one's soft.
Okay, now test the top.
Oh yeah, it's in the back.
Yeah,
That's why we always agree. If we get into a fight, we send in Chaz to the front line.
I don't have it.
He don't have the closed.
Because my
though.
Coach drained the blood out.
Yeah,
he would drain it out every day, and that was the most painful. Because
they didn't like wrestlers don't like wearing headgear, so then they get the cauliflower ears, and then somewhere that's like a badge of honor. Because the wrestlers at my college were like number one in the nation.
Right.
So we had a good ass wrestling team. So I would just talk to them, and I was like, why y'all. Like, aesthetically, why y'all keep that? And they was like, nah, it's just let people know. Like, this is what I do.
I always thought that was weird because I've heard that too. But can't that mean they be getting their ass beat every fight too?
No,
because
everything, your head is on the mat.
I don't mean that.
Oh, okay.
It don't mean they're getting slammed around like the Hulk did.
Yeah. It don't equal losing. It just equals repetition. It's like, we do this all the time. But you're bound to get it. You know, I started wrestling in seventh grade. So, like, 8 years, you're bound to six, 7 years, whatever it was. You're bound to get it. So,
So Chaz, what's your win loss ratio? You won more or lost more?
I won more. I can't tell you my record off of like senior year or something like that because that's the one that matters. I can't even.
No, I want to go back to freshman year. You won more.
Well, my freshman year, I didn't play because I didn't wrestle. I had a rehab. I broke my leg, so I didn't get a chance to. I broke my leg playing football, so I didn't get a chance to wrestle that year. So my sophomore year was a 7th, 8th grade. Freshman year, didn't get to wrestle. Came back sophomore year. And then it was always bad because you're wrestling up, right? It's like that was the worst part. So it was like, hey, man, I know you wrestle at 150, but here's this guy at 170. Just don't get pinned. And you're like, oh, okay. And he's got tattoos. You're like, all right.
Wait, hold on, Chaz. That kind of doesn't make sense because if you're a cat walking around with a black eye every day, that means you got some repetition in you.
But you can still win and get a black eye. You got tagged. You're going to get tagged.
No, I'm just saying. But that's what I'm saying. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a great fighter because you got a cauliflower ear.
No, I didn't say that. I said we just
countered what you said because you was like, doesn't that mean they're getting whooped? And it's like, no.
No, I said, can that mean you getting your ass beat all the time?
Can it? Sure. But it doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't equal that. Yeah. But my thing was like, it just means you do this a lot. Unless you just got one hell of a day where that first day you did it, you got cauliflower ear, which
got it.
You know, that's unusual, but it's a lot of that, bro. It's a lot of just yeah. So
wait, Keon, did you ever think what would have happened if you would have held back? Cause I'm like 16 going to college is crazy.
No, I was 16 as a senior, then I turned 17. So I was 17 when I went to college.
That's still crazy.
Yeah, I was a kid.
Everybody goes to college now at 20.
I was a kid.
Right.
Did you ever think, hey, if I held back?
If it was times now, I would have reclassed. You know what I mean? I would have stayed, went to a prep or whatever, and then did another year at high school and dominated. And then.
Hell yeah. Because at 16, I'm like.
Well, shit. I mean, truth be told, if I go back, I'm not even hooping. I'm playing baseball.
That's the sport.
If I'm at 16,
way better chance at making it in baseball.
I was better at baseball
than any other sport, probably.
Yeah, I was way better.
But he was
too.
A senior at 16. That means if he would have stayed another 2 years, he was already whooping ass.
Yeah,
he is basically a 8th grader whooping ass in high school.
I was always younger, and I would play 2 years up when I'm in 6th grade. I'm playing with the 8th graders, but I'm only like 11. But I would play. I just played up.
Wild.
But I thought that was normal. I really thought that was normal. So I didn't think nothing. I didn't think nothing of it. I only go back now because I have kids. So I'm watching my kids play sports, and I'm watching the other kids, and I'm like getting frustrated. And my expectations are so high. So I'll call my dad and be like, "Nigga, am I wilding?" And he'd be like, no, bro, you were really good. I was like, in baseball, these kids, he was like, you were the 10-year-old playing with the 12-year-olds, though. You were the only 10-year-old out there. But I always thought that stuff was normal. And he was like, no, you were special.
What's wild is I get it because so Sage was always bigger than the other kids. So he played up.
Right.
Yeah, I know damn well you weren't bigger than the other kids.
No, hell no. Absolutely not. Yeah. I didn't even grow to my junior year. I was hella small.
I never grew.
And skinny. I was just really good at sports. Like, just it was so easy for me. It was very natural. I just got it. I just understood it, and it's just something I did. So it's very hard for me. That's probably the hardest part about me being a dad, is not judging my kids based on stuff that I did. That's like the hardest part.
I know you were the smallest person on the court all the time, and well, I see how buff your dad is, so I know he instilled work ethic. Yo, we got to get it. But at the same time, like, yo, that's crazy.
He didn't – the work ethic part wasn't what he did. I was always – we have videos of literally me at, like, 2, 3 years old making them pitch me balls, blah, blah. I was always wanted to play sports. What he did, he didn't motivate me with work because I was going to do the work. He used to just piss me off all the time and tell me what I couldn't do and tell me who was better and, like, what that – and because he knew that would piss me off.
Well, so, that's the motivation.
Yeah, he would motivate me. Yeah, I was going to do the work, but he would just piss me off all the time. Like, just all the time. That kid over there, tell me what other accolades somebody else got, or this person did this, or he's the same age as you, but look at what he's doing. And it was just, even when he played me, he'd beat the shit out of me. Just to piss
his blue jeans are bluer than
he would piss me off, bro. And then it stopped working when I got in high school because I was better than him at, like, everything, even before that. And I was just like, bro, you can't tell me nothing because you've never been this. So once I whooped him when we played, and then I kind of stopped listening. But then other people just around me motivated. I had a dude up the street. I just played one-on-one every day, and he beat the shit out of me every day. He beat me every day.
So when you played your dad, did he foul you on every play?
Yeah, he would elbow me, knock me down. He would do all that stuff. And then when I got 15, he couldn't do it anymore. He was too slow. He was, you know, I was bigger, and I was, he just couldn't do it. So he just,
damn, like, I was your dad. He just, not like that, but I did that to Sage.
Yeah.
And at 15, he was bigger than me.
Yeah.
So those, I fouled him on everything.
Yeah. And then I realized, I was like, you're fouling me because you can't hold me. He was like, play through it, blah, blah. I was like, you're not good enough. So you're fouling me because you can't keep up. And then once I got there, I was like, nah. So then I started playing kids better than me. So, like I said, dude up the street, he just beat me every day, but I was still in his moves. I was learning from him. And then I would take that and go do what I had to do. But yeah, my dad peaked at, once I was 15, I had to go to other kids. I had to go to different sources because he couldn't do it no more.
So Chaz, are you going to be beating your daughter like this when she's doing gymnastics? Are you going to be like, no, you're never going to flip better.
Well, I can't help her there. My thing is this: is like, I'm like, there's certain, I can't help you do gymnastics. I can't help you be an Olympic swimmer. I can't help you do these things. I can help you with football, baseball, and wrestling. I can help you here or with these jokes. We can always write. You know, she wrote her own little story again and drew some pictures. I love stuff like that. But I'm like, she wants to do more fighting, more UFC stuff. So then I'm like, I don't know if I want her to compete. I want her to learn, but I don't know if I want her to compete.
Gotta let them choose. Like, Keelan's just in the class to learn. Kendrick's competing.
I'm more worried about me, because once you say you want to be good at something, we got to lock in, and I don't want to hear that I'm tired. I don't want to hear that. It doesn't matter. Like, we do that now. Like, you can ask Izzy about our workouts. When she starts crying mid-workout, like, I'm all right. And you still got to do it. You still got to do it. I know you're tired. I know it hurts. Like,
you can power. You can do this with tears.
And then after she gets through it, she's smiling and she's happy. I'm like, see what happens when you push through.
Yeah, you can do it. You push through.
So I'm like, those are things. But I know that once it's time to lock in, bro, I'm not, any kind of empathy that I have, I feel like my empathy is already low. So when we talk about, if you want to work hard, you want to beat somebody, you want to be the best, I'm like, nah, you got to work day and night. Like, it's a full time job to be the best. and you may never make it. You know?
That's the cold part.
But I didn't have, you know, I wish, like, my dad did the, you know, much like Keon's dad, he was around, he coached our teams, but there wasn't that extra level of wake up at this time, get, you know, you got to eat these things to, it wasn't that. We didn't have, even in football and in high school, I wish I had a coach who said, get here at 6 a.m., do your workout, get ready for school. Boom, now we have practice. After practice, we had weights. I wish that was known. Eat these foods. It was just go to practice and play. But that's those extra steps to be great, to be the best, I didn't know what that was. I wish
that,
I knew.
That's also what's dope about having somebody that's tried it before you. Because now they know the rules.
Right. And we
didn't have that. Right. Like, my dad played outside in outside court. And he wasn't in my life anyway. But at the same time, my mom didn't know to be like, yo, you should get to practice an hour early.
Right.
You need to stay an hour after.
You only can do what you know. Like, my kids have the benefit of having me knowing what to do.
Yeah.
My dad was just like, hey, man, you know, you're good at this stuff. He didn't know what he was doing. He just was,
I'm going to teach you what I know.
Yeah. And he was just trying.
And that's kind of what I went through. I was so backwards, bro, because my dad was a comedian.
Yeah.
He knew nothing about basketball, and I was determined to play basketball. Yeah. But he talked about it to this day. He was like, I tried to get you in here.
You could have been Isaiah Kelly.
I tried to get you into acting and in the comedy world when you was like, 12 or 13. I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be on TV. I want to play basketball.
And now look at you in a movie.
It's crazy, bro. Yeah. But I knew I'm going to teach Aviance. I was like, I got basketball down, Avi. I can help you with that.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. I go like, I'm only going to really put, we couldn't afford camps. Like, it'd have been different if we had personal trainers I can send you to and camps and stuff like that. I'll go, if you want to go do gymnastics full time or, like, seriously, you got to go into these camps. You got to go travel. You got to, like, there's coaches. You know,
gymnastics is a real deal, and it's very expensive, too.
That's why Izzy's so athletic, bro. It's crazy to see how athletic she is. She's slow as shit. But me and her mom, we are not speedsters. We didn't. I go, like, you're going to be strong?
Be sturdy.
You're gonna be sturdy.
A lot of people great for UFC. A lot of people don't understand all the politics that actually go into sports as well. Yeah. All those camps are very important.
Oh yeah. Well, nowadays too, though, even if you have an advantage, if you don't know something, you got YouTube.
Right.
So
you
nowadays,
can train all day.
My brother's never played soccer.
Yeah.
But my niece and nephew are cold as hell. My brother go on YouTube. He bought all the shit, and he pulled a Serena Williams daddy. He just be doing that, just going, and they're both on my nephew's on the number one team in the state in his age group, and then
it took politics to be like, oh, I got to get him on the best team in the state.
Well, my brother did that himself. He was putting him on, moving him around to different teams, and then he made a little highlight tape or whatever, and then the coach found him from the little Instagram tape. He was like, yo, I've been looking for him, and then you found him, put him on the team, and then.
Because what parents normally know is, all right, rec league, park.
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly.
And you just think, oh, he's nice at this park.
Yeah.
But to know it's past that, wow.
I'm also waiting for her to tell me she wants to be the best in this. Like, I want to do this. You know, I'm waiting for her to go. There's things, you know, we do, but I want her to be like, I love this. I'm going to do this every single day of my life. Because that's how I felt about football. I didn't have every single day of my life. No practice. You know, eventually practice gets boring. You go like, all right, man, we got to go through. I felt like that with wrestling for sure. Mm-hmm. I said, God, fuck, I wish this shit got canceled. But it wasn't a single day, rain, shine, cold, or football. I didn't want to do it. It was always great.
Yeah.
So I was waiting for that spark.
Have you ever sat and said, damn, if I would have focused on stand-up at that age instead of football, you know where I'd be right now?
You know what?
I don't.
Not only because of where I grew up. You know, it wasn't the, I'm growing up in the middle of the mitten. So it wasn't like a great place to go tell jokes and get discovered. So I don't think so there, you know.
I think.
It's better for sports there.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm like, I needed the experiences to talk about on stage.
Look, me with a family that was all doing stand-up, it was, yo, by the time you're 14, 15, you have a set.
Right. I would have loved that.
Yeah, that's different, though. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah, y'all got to see success in it.
Like, and there was no improv schools where I grew up. Yeah. It wasn't any of that stuff. You couldn't go somewhere and try this. And I heard, Tiffany Haddish had the Laugh Factory.
Damon had a room in his house that he made into a stand-up room.
Yeah,
so he has stand-up of us in there.
That's dope.
Also, I'm gonna be honest, I think my sports background helped me with stand-up. That's why I had the fearlessness from day one, and that's why I had the I don't give a shit about failing. I don't care about and just a different mindset. That
I'm gonna get better.
Yeah, the mindset that other comedians had when I first started versus mine, they were completely different. They were so unsure of themselves, and they were, you know, afraid of failing and all kinds of. I never had that. I was just like, man, this ain't
shit. That's why I said when you walked in different. Yeah. I remember when you walked in,
but that was from sports, and you know, I was just like, man.
I be telling people this sports is important, man. It's a certain level of confidence you get from playing sports, you know?
Yeah, and I already had succeeded at something. A lot of comics are coming in just trying something. Usually, if we're keeping it real, most comics were failures at stuff they did, or outcasts, or losers, or you know what I mean? I came in with success already in other fields. So I was like, well, I'll knock this out too. And I came in very aggressive because I had already had success in other areas.
Yeah, because I knew comics that were already started before you, and you came in and walked right in front of the line.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
And I didn't think nothing of it, too. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that. I didn't know that I was supposed
to. You are supposed to.
You are supposed to.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But I mean, like, as far as even when I got passed at all the major clubs in the Bay within my first year and a half. And to me, that was just like, that's what you're supposed to come in and kill. Like, that was my whole thing, was just sports. You come in, you take somebody's spot. You come in, you beat out the other people. That's just how life works. I was like, I don't care about them steps. Like, I'm not hanging out every Sunday at the, you know, what was it called?
DC?
What's
it
called?
Punchline.
You got to show up every Sunday. I said, I'm not doing that. Who I need to talk to, who I need to get in front of to skip this step, and who I need to
get out. I remember when Keon said, hey, I'm moving to LA. I was like, where? You've only been doing it 2 years. He's like, yep, I'm coming.
Yeah, sure, that's when I moved to LA.
There's nothing for me to do in the Bay. I'm in every club.
You see the writings on the wall. You'd be like, such and such been around here 40 years.
Yeah.
I got to get the hell up out of here.
When I saw that we were just hanging out, I'm like, there's nothing for me here. I can email my avails. I don't need to be here. So I'm leaving. Yeah. What I want to be here to hang out with y'all for?
I hold a high regard to you because when you took that step, I was like, "Word, 2 years?" Because usually I'm like, "Yo, I don't even listen to a comic until he's performed for at least 7-8 years."
Yeah.
2 years, you said, I'm coming out. I said, all right, get it, nigga. Let's go.
That's
and then
the worst.
You came out. You showed up and showed out. And I was like, all right.
I never choice.
Speaking of that, Craig, that's the worst. Listening to I never thought I'd be that dude, like a comedian that hasn't been doing this for so long, to be having like a full on opinion about something they haven't been through yet. That's the worst, bro.
So you know also. 5 years, if somebody says, I'm moving to L.A., I've been doing stand-up for 5 years, what do you tell them?
It's hard. Like, it's kind of hard because I left at 3.
Yeah, I left at 2.
Yeah, I was moving in the Bay pretty fast, too. And I was like, let me get up out of here. I know that I have to get there. I knew it was another level I had to see to get to, because the Bay, I was like, I'm breezing through this scene. You know what I mean? I'm breezing through this scene. So, but if it's someone, if I see them perform, and I can tell where they stand at, if they need to leave or if they need to stay or not.
Yeah, you can tell. You got to be the, like sports, you got to be outperforming your peers to go to that next camp.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're not even the best in your school, how are you trying to go to? So it depends. If that person at year 5 is the, like, clearly head and shoulders above everybody else in his class, well, yeah, get out of there. If you 5 years in, but you still, you know, just another open micer, stay and hone it.
My thing is, normally, if I see you after you've been 5 years and I can't write a show for you, I'm like, all right, you need to stay at it.
Yeah.
You haven't said who you are.
Yeah.
To the point where I could address it.
Facts. I get that. That's a great.
I left because I need a new challenge, too. I'm that person. I'm not a, all right, I always need a new challenge. So in the Bay, I was just like, if I'm always going last, if I'm always, you know, the best person on the show, I was like, this isn't good enough. I'm not supposed to be the best person 2 years in. So let me go to LA and get my ass kicked a little bit. Because I was like, this doesn't make sense to me.
I didn't know.
Go to LA and get drop kicked in the face.
Yeah, and then get bumped and not even get to go up. I needed all that. I needed to sit there and watch some headliner come in and do 30 minutes of trash, and I don't get to go up because they just reading out their notepad, fucking around. I needed to go last and stay up till 2 in the morning and get past. Like, I needed all that. I needed to see other people, too, and be like, oh, my God, there's another level I need to reach that come in and kill. Yeah, I needed all that.
So, Chaz, when you go out to comedy clubs, when a new comic comes up, have you ever been like, oh, I see a show in him?
Yes, I have seen. I don't know if they've seen it. But I would be like, hey, do this. I would be like, make this come to life. Focus here. Because you can do that. You know, that's how I write for myself. I go like, how would my show be? What would my show be about? How would my show be? Who are the characters? You know, that's kind of how I think now. But I've seen it with people. And I go like.
Is that after you started writing? Or is it when you first started doing stand-up, you're like, hey, what show am I?
Yeah.
Because when I see comics, I'm like, all right, what are you presenting?
When I saw, because there's a couple comedy specials I saw. Of course, if you watch Bill Cosby himself, that's where the Cosby Show came from, right? And you go like insane. And that was the first time I saw somebody perform their show, right? And I was young then. I remember when Eddie Griffin had his, what was his special called? Dysfunctional Family is one of my favorite specials. And him, I always thought, man, if he did his own version of Everybody Hates Chris or being animated when he's talking about his uncle watching porn, when he's talking about his mom trying to run him down over the street, he had all these characters that were already built. And I was like, oh, dude, you got an amazing show right here. It's just you growing up in this town, in this area, or him being his own principal at his school. I saw it like immediately. So I saw some of those specials and things like that. And I go, I see this 1,000%. You know, but a lot of people don't see that thing in their own, you know.
That's why life. Eddie Murphy is one of my favorite comics, because he was the first time I watched a stand-up special and seen a full show. Like, if he would have did a TV show with Aunt Bunny. And
yeah. Fucking, you got all these all characters, the characters
that were in his fucking stand-up special. I was like, man, this is the show.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if other people see comics and be like, hey. Usually it takes 15 years before people develop that type of material where they're like, I feel completely open and I want you to be in part of my life.
Right. Well, the other side of it is the sketch side. Like when I watched Chappelle, I never saw a show from his, like Kill 'Em Softly. But when he did Chappelle's show, I get it. There's a lot of people I go, even early Damon, I go, I get the sketch aspect, you know. It's just these characters and they're silly. I think Damon talked about his kid a little later on, but he
started off talking about
all that. See, I remember the sketch stuff. I remember the characters way more than anything, you know. I remember being like, how do you think of this, you know? So when I see other comedians, I go, okay, are they a sketch mind or are they a sitcom mind, you know? Are they a story mind or they're like a one-off kind of mind, you know?
Then you get when did you start seeing that? After you start writing or early, when you were like, yo, I like this comic because of this, because I know where we are at, writers are like, all right, what are you presenting? What are you showing? What's your story?
I think I saw it early, somewhere before I started, because I remember like studying Stand Up Tough when I bought like all these DVDs but I was like in high school, I think maybe when I started understanding, like, but it was Bill Cosby himself. That was the first one when I saw somebody perform. So I was middle school, high school, I think, when I saw what I think is the greatest comedy special of all time, of that one, in my opinion. But that's when I first saw.
Also, do you communicate to other comics, this is what we need to see as a writer, this is what we need to see?
I do not at all. Nah, man, too many comedians are hard-headed, bro. Like, they're just, they want to do their own thing and they have their own vision, especially younger ones. I don't talk to young people or old people. You're either too young to understand or you're set in your ways.
Hey, real quick, comics out there watching right now, we want to write for y'all, but y'all have to understand, you have to tell a story. This is what Hollywood's looking for. We got 15 people in a room waiting for you.
Yeah.
Tell us your story.
I got a question for both of y'all. Do y'all think it's kind of getting away from that? Because a lot of comedians that are accumulating like a lot of success right now, they're not telling a story. You got, you know, your Nates, your Matt Rife's.
But Craig is talking about from a TV show perspective.
Well, I'm going to say this. Nate, yeah. I can't write a show for. Matt, Matt got different type of material. I've been watching him since 15. Nate's got material too. But at the same time, no, I know Matt's story. And that's just because I've been a fan for the last 15 years. And I've been a fan of Nate's too. But yeah. I know Matt's original material. So it gets different. But in Hollywood, we want to hear your story so we could write for you. There's there's 15 people waiting in the room for your story so we can build upon it.
So, but is that something that only applies to LA comedy? Like, I wouldn't, but what I'm saying is, like, I wouldn't tell a comedian anything because I want you to be authentic to whatever it is that you are. And do that, and then whatever happens. That's what I'm saying. That's Hollywood specific.
Everybody from so from Kenan to fucking Roseanne Barr to they all told their show,
right?
And they worked on their show on stage,
selling on stage is what I tell.
Then we went and watched it, and we made a show out of their story. So a lot of people want to tell jokes. Cool. Tell jokes in your realm of where you live, and this is going to be the story that we're telling to the world.
Right.
It's not about just being funny. This is a business. It's show business.
Right.
So come show us the show you want us to give to the world.
If you see my set now, it's very much, hey, I live with my mom, my wife, my kid. Here's what's interesting or crazy about each of them. Here's why I'm a nut, because we all don't get along. I talk about living with three women, being outmanned at the household, you know? It's very much, but that was also, I was like, I would call my show Outmanned, and it would be about Chaz Man. I would use my first name, break it up, be my last name, and it would be about how I operate having three women at home, because they're weak as shit. They can't never carry a goddamn thing. Not a single thing. So it's things like that. It's just like, here's what's irritating. Here's the good part about it. And you just give them
well, that's you walking in front of the line like Keon did. Now, Keon heard this. He's like, oh, word.
Yes, what you're supposed to do.
In front of the line again.
Because when I think about that, I go like, man, me talking about my mom, build that character out. I talk about how she's getting older and now she's a little more racist. She was very hood, though, right, back in the day. And it's like, how does that interact with her and my daughter? Now my daughter says these things, right? So now, but is that? So now she's at school saying this. That's a whole episode. We heard your daughter say this. I come and I tell my mom, she just called somebody an Arab, blah, 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 blah. Right? Well, I'm going to use that specifically anymore.
You know how many people became
in the 90s, though. I would have killed. Wait,
Chaz, you know how many people became famous saying their first episode of their show?
Exactly. It's the pilot.
Yes.
Exactly.
You're supposed to present your pilot.
Exactly.
So and then, for any comic out there,
yep.
You could be trying to be, you could be funny.
Any comic who wants a show.
Well, every comic wants a show. Everybody wants to be famous. Nobody wants to be a comic that's known just in their house.
I'm the funniest person here in these four walls. All right.
Nigga, a lot of comedians nowadays about, just want to get paid.
Well, a lot of people nowadays ain't even comics. They just showing up because they wanted to be actors, they wanted to be gymnasts, they wanted to be basketball players. There's very few people that say, yo, I want to be a comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I got into stand-up. I wanted to act. And I think I was watching Steve Harvey's show one day, and I was like, oh, he started as a comedian. Who knew? And then I started seeing Jamie Foxx was a comedian. I was like, oh, this is a thing. And then I was like, okay, you can get into acting from doing stand-up. And then once you do it, you're like, oh, this talks to me. Oh, this talks to me dirty.
But this little bit of advice for comics out there, if you really want to do it, start building your set like an episode.
Right.
So let me know about you from your pilot episode. Every pilot, if you watch every TV show, every pilot is telling you exactly who they are, where they're from, and who surrounded them.
Right. You can go to King of Queens. You can go to. You can pick a show. Seinfeld. His whole thing, which was a little different, is because he was like, my whole show was about how do comedians get their material. And he said when he pitched it, he was pitching like, yeah, yeah, like this. Yeah, he was like, we told a few jokes about how we get our material. And that was his show. And I was like, that's probably the only different one that you didn't see that was actually like, hey, here's what's about me. His was about that. Like, the everyday life of a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody else's, for the most part, has been about.
I think we just dropped the biggest jewels on the net today.
Nobody's going to do it, though, Craig.
I know they ain't going to do it.
That's the other side.
I know
side.
They ain't.
That's why I don't tell nobody nothing. They ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even the first time I've said it. Probably on a pod or something like that, you know? But it's what you see. You know? That's what you see. Because I think, doesn't Cat Williams, what do you say? He had like 12 kids? Doesn't he have like,
I don't know.
Adopted.
But yeah, like a bunch of adopted kids. His, when he did Pimp Chronicles, I was always like, how come no one did this show about him with these a gang of kids? You don't even have to do 10. You can do a 6 is a big number, but I always wonder how come no one did this show about Kat and these kids and being a father.
I actually wrote that show, Chad.
I'm saying, I go like, this was genius to me.
It just didn't happen. Yeah. Me and him met, we went out, tried to do it. It just didn't happen.
I always thought about that. I said, this makes perfect sense, bro. He talked about it on stage and I can see it. So where is it?
I did that in my early 20s and it just didn't go.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
Tried it though.
Yeah. I'm glad you saw it because I go like, how that not be done is insane to me.
It was so, to me, it was, I don't know if you remember the old white show with the dad with 8 kids. What was it called?
Mary and Kate plus 8?
No, it was before that.
What were they people called? Mary and Kate? I said that way wrong.
I have no idea what you're
John
talking
and Kate.
About.
I
don't
I
know
forgot
what you're
how much
about.
Younger you are than me, Kim. This was Kate. Like, it was like in the 80s this show came out. Mm-hmm. It was about a dude that had 8 kids that weren't his.
Jesus.
He was raising.
Man,
that's a lot.
I don't remember that at all.
What was it called? Simp. Ah! don't. I'm just kidding.
DC no. Sold out this weekend, guys. Sell out. When's your sellout show, DC? Don't you have a sellout show coming in December?
Oh, no, that's December. Oh, yeah, Sacramento. That's December 19th and 20th. And on the 20th, it's already sold out. So
come
Saturday,
on
which
now.
Is probably the first time I've ever sold out before I hit the soil. Saturday's already sold out. And Friday, get your tickets if you're going to be in Sacramento at Laughs Unlimited Comedy Club, the 19th. Get your tickets for me.
That was a little early, but once you said the joke, I said, and that's how you start selling out, baby.
Yeah.
You got to get out here anyway.
That's how you do
hey,
it.
Hey, we be dropping gems on them. Like, for real. Like, any comic that ever watched this show, you got so much more game right now.
Yeah.
I love Craig's passion for...
Yeah.
I seen some of y'all eyes light up. Yes. When me and Chad said, hey, you know what? What we be looking for when we be trying to produce a show or write a show.
I was listening to you two niggas.
Bro, because even if I write an episode for somebody else or something, I just take what I'm going through and I just put it on there. And I just go like, this is what we argued about. We argued about a blender. Now here's this episode about a blender. It's the exact same thing. You just take whatever's happening and I go, this is a great episode. You know,
man, wife and kids ruined one of my relationships.
Hilarious.
Jay is my ex. Hey. So a lot of the episodes is about me and Jay.
Bro, that's it.
Funny.
Whatever I'm going through, bro, I do the same thing with the movie. I go like, well, this is what I felt at this time. Right. There's a specific time when I went through this. I go, I put that shit in there. And that's where you operate from that point.
Yeah. But when you go home.
Well, you know.
You hear exactly, especially if the character's named the same name. When you go home, you're like, it wasn't even about you, Jay. What do you mean? No, I was just, that was
that's
that,
funny.
I was spitballing.
I use my family's name when I talk about them on stage, so you just got to deal with it, Mike.
So when y'all get back?
I'm back on the first.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back on the first, too.
Where y'all at now?
If I ever hear a character named Yo, best believe Yo's gonna be cussing you out, Chad.
Well, she would probably be Vanessa because that's her middle name. But I need her to know that's her. I need her to know I'm talking about you. This is
you weren't supposed to give the government out, Chad.
I mean,
you know, I let me retract that. I don't know when I'm back yet, but I'll be back soon. I gotta handle a lot of other stuff. But I'll be back soon.
Well, hopefully you'll come by because Mom's is like, yo, DC coming. I'm making
to get my ox teasies.
Goddamn right. She like, DC,
your mom live in Atlanta?
Some oxtails for him.
Your mom live in Atlanta? I thought she was in Carolina.
No. Carolina. We have a show in Charlotte coming up.
Oh, got you.
Oh, he's going to say it in like the next 5 minutes.
Anyway. Yeah.
So where are you going to be?
Charlotte, North Carolina, November 28th through November 30th at the Comedy Zone, man. We winding down on this Wild Child tour.
I love the Comedy Zone.
Go ahead and get your tickets. More likely it will sell out, so get them fast.
Mm-hmm. The double sellouts, DC. Marlon by yourself. Keon.
Where you going to be, Keon? I see you looking in the phone already.
Because I knew we were about to go in order, so I was like, let me have my ducks in a row because I'd just be fumbling every time.
Okay, where you going to be? Well, I'm Craig Wans. At Craig Wans on everything. You know where you'll see me, where you find me.
Looking for shows to write.
Why it look like a butt cheek underneath where y'all are looking? If so, the couch right now looks like a butt cheek.
This nigga, bro.
You got to look at the screen. And then
we can't see it. We just see y'all.
Yeah, we can't see it. But
he said, this nigga. You goddamn right, this nigga.
Chicken cock.
Shout out to everybody who came in Canada. I never sold out
Canada
in another country before, so that was dope.
Congrats, Brody.
Both the Saturday shows are sold
what
out.
Part? So we give them a special shout.
Edmonton, Canada, man.
Edmonton.
Yeah, Edmonton. So that's two in a row. That's 2 weekends in a row. Come DC on. Sold out.
I think I got 4 hoes out there.
Hilarious.
What up, Edmonton? Hey.
The Cocksmith says hello.
The Cocksmith.
Edmonton. And then my next one is... In San Diego. So San Diego, Friday. There's two shows Saturday. That's it. On the 29th, Thanksgiving weekend. So get your tickets. Bring your family members. So it looks like the first one going to sell out already because I sell the pre-sales. And I was like, all right, it's halfway sold out already.
Actually, you know what we're going to do?
What?
Every 10 military people that come to this show, I'm going to pay for one of them.
Which show?
Which one? San Diego?
San Diego, yeah.
Come on.
Every 10 people that come to the show, I'm going to pay for one of them.
All right. Y'all heard Craig.
So bring 10.
Y'all heard
if Craig. You come with 9, I ain't paying for shit.
All
right. That's how I'm feeling right now, and that's how I'm celebrating my nigga. Hey,
come on, man.
Bring 10. The 10th one, I got them. Keon, keep track of it.
Yeah, I will. I'll make a video about it.
And you see the vet IDs.
Yeah, so there we go. So, yeah, 2 shows. You got either come to the late show or early show. And then I got a...
I'm only doing 1 show, though.
And then after that, I got Tacoma, Washington. Nate just hit me. I'm doing Nate Jackson's Comedy Club, December 12th through the 14th. So get your tickets for that. That'll be 5 shows. Now, if I sell out San Diego and then sell out in Tacoma, then we got something. And then, the clip just hit 30 million today. And then across the board, across the board, the clips are at 50 million.
A gunshot.
And everything's good. Everything's going great. People are pulling up. My new hour, I'm going to shoot another special beginning of 2027, maybe at the end of next year, because I already got the new hour. So everything's going great. KeonPoli.com for everything. The Hella t-shirts and hoodies are back, but they selling like crazy.
Where my hoodie at?
It's in my room. I have it.
Have you trademarked the? I guess.
Wait, he's been asking you about this for a while.
No.
In my room.
No, true story is he didn't ask me for shit. I got tired of seeing him wear the other one. It's all faded and brown and shit. And I was like, you need a new one. So when I got the new batch, I just put one aside because I'm tired of him wearing that shit. But at least he wear it all the time.
Hey,
but I'm like, nigga,
Keon, I'm still going to not throw
it
away.
It's right. Disgusting.
Still going
to
wear it.
I was like, you have worn that into the ground. Like, you need a new
I'm
going
to just turn it into a sleeveless one now.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So, the hoodies are back for the, fall, winter. And my Linktree has everything. And I'm like Craig right now. I'm just in a good mood, man. I'm just happy everything's going well. And
yeah, proud of you, bro.
Finally getting some goddamn validation from people, and people finally, coming around.
You know what's dope? You don't even need the validation.
Well, financially,
I do. Keep killing it anyway.
Financially, I need the validation. That's what I meant. It's like people are finally coming to come to these goddamn shows. And so it's been because I've been asking for years, but they just needed to see it, which was the whole point of the special. I was like, okay, you guys, I can tell you that I'm hilarious, but y'all need to see this shit. So people see it, and now they're like, all right, let's go see him. So it's going great.
Chaz, what you got, baby boy?
December 5th, me and Deanna doing my birthday comedy show downtown Los Angeles. It is Sagittarius. Yep. Celebrating the Sagges out there.
Wait, why didn't you feel like you believed in that? You were like, it's Sagittarius.
Because I wasn't sure if it was Sagittarius or not. Right? It's because Capricorn, I don't know all those that well, but I think it's Sagittarius.
What's your rising? Pause.
My dick. Scorpios. Yeah, we did Scorpio. Yeah, so Sagittarius. We're celebrating all Sagges. So if you're a Sag, come on out. Shit, I got other dates. I can't remember off top. I didn't write them down either. So, you know, I had to figure that out later.
You had an hour to get prepared.
You're right. You're right, DC. You're right.
Hey, Chaz, I got a new shirt for you.
What you got for me?
Vagittarius.
Vagittarius. Vagittarius and the cocksmith, baby. Chicken cock. That's it.
Vagittarius.
That's it. All right.
That's it. Oh, Lacroni Chaz, all that good stuff available, blah, 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 blah. Thank y'all for watching another episode of, I was about to say Lacroni Chaz, of Daddy
and
Issues.
We're back. And we're back with another episode of Daddy Issues.
Gunshot. Blah, blah, blah.
Gunshot.
That's it. It's over.
We out.
We out.